When life is not on your terms, how do you respond? When the kind of life you were expecting or hoping for is not as you thought, how do you respond? It's a very important question for us. It has real implications for how you live your life and for those around you. We try to do our best in life. We try to figure out the rules of the game and work hard to abide by those rules. But when the rules no longer work, when the game is broken, what do you do? As we live life, we often realize that life is not always on my terms. Jesus, we see in today's passage, he makes a contrast between the rich people and the poor widow. He sees the rich people putting in large sums into the treasury, and then he sees a poor widow come with just two copper coins and put that in. And he says this in response to what he saw. Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. What is Jesus saying here? Is he criticizing the rich people? I don't think that's what he's doing. He's not criticizing the rich people. But he is pointing out a crucial difference between the rich people and the poor widow. And what is that difference? The main difference is that the rich people in this story, they lived on their own terms. They gave the money on their own terms. It was out of their abundance. It was out of their surplus. So really, it had no effect on them. They were in control. They gave what they wanted to. But you look at the poor widow. Life was not on her terms. Jesus said she had two copper coins and that's all she had to live on. One copper coin was 1/64th of a denarius. Denarius is a day's wage. So with two of them, let's do some math, that's 1/32nd of a day's wage. So let's take today's minimum wage. It has gone up, I think, a bit, 8 hours. And you calculate that 1/32nd of a day's wage on minimum wage is about $5. I mean, back in the day when I was a kid with $5, I could afford a Big Mac combo, $3.99 plus tax, $4.27. Right? But today, I checked the menu, you can barely get a cheeseburger. $3.29 plus tax is almost $5. I mean, if that's what you have to live on, life is definitely not on your terms. Not all widows were poor in Jesus' time. And there were some wealthy widows. Widows were allowed to own property, but widows were nonetheless very vulnerable. If they didn't have a wealthy or powerful family to protect them, they were very susceptible to abuse and exploitation. This is why the law paid special attention to widows and orphans, because they were the most vulnerable members of society. So the law provided special protection for them. James writes in his letter about perfect religion. This is what he says. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is written in the time of the early church. The very first issue that the early church had to deal with in Acts was for the care of the widows in their community. Because
because they're the most vulnerable.
The whole community and religious system built around the law was supposed to protect vulnerable people like widows. But the reality was, the system was often very broken. They were often victims of the community that was supposed to take care of them. Religious leaders often took advantage of them. And experts in the law, they used their knowledge to cheat or take advantage of them. And this is what Jesus is implying when he criticizes the scribes in today's passage. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. The poor widow, seeing her situation, was likely a victim of this kind of situation. We don't know anything about her, but I can only imagine the kind of difficulties and hardships, lack of support she had, probably all alone too. Because normally a widow would, if they had a son at least who's well-to-do and good enough, the son would take care of his mother. But probably not either. Life was not on her own terms. She could barely survive day to day. Her life was precarious and uncertain. Many people today, I think, feel very precarious and uncertain. I mean, it used to be that back in the day, if you did things the right way, things would work out, right? If you worked hard or studied hard, then you can maybe get a good job that is steady. And with that, you can have a family, you can afford a home, and live a nice middle-class life. That situation is harder and harder to come by, if it even exists at all. Getting a good job, all the young people know, it's so competitive. I don't know how these students are doing it. Getting a job is competitive, and even once you get a good job, it's not secure anymore like it used to be. There's constant pressure. You got to perform. And you got to be valuable so that technology doesn't make your job obsolete. More and more work is therefore less long-term. It's contract or we're living the gig economy now. And then even if you do have a good job and you're making good money, I mean, owning a home is so hard. It's so out of reach for so many people unless you have good family support. You can work years and years on a good income and now still never be able to afford a home. Life is increasingly not on our terms. It's making people very frustrated, very anxious. Everything's so expensive too. I talked about the McDonald's example, right? Our dollar doesn't go far anymore, and we feel much more poor. Eating out is a luxury. I cannot believe how much the bill is when we go out. Even for the four of us, a simple breakfast is a lot of money. When life is not on your terms, it makes you uneasy. It makes us anxious, and it can create frustration. When things seem out of your control, there's uneasiness and fear. Fear is the most primal of human emotions. Oh, you know fear? It activates the brain, and it propels you to move very fast. You know, when my son Junie, he was a toddler, he started like waddling around, and they're unsteady, right? They'll walk, but then fall on their face, and then the one time we were at a park, and then he was waddling along, and then a dog came barking, running. Man, his eyes, first of all, I never saw such fear, and I never saw him run so fast. He was like a 100-meter sprinter. So fear has a motivating factor like that. Helps you survive. But if fear is not managed and tended to, it can morph into other things. Fear easily becomes anger. Fear easily breeds suspicion. Anger and suspicion, they make you start looking for people to blame. Fear divides people. It makes you point fingers at people for the difficulties you're facing. It puts up walls so that you can feel safe. There's a lot of that going on in the world right now because there's so much change happening. Every day, something new, something different. The stable foundations we thought we could stand on are no more. Our world right now is absorbing the result of the U.S. election this past week. I mean, I'm still processing and absorbing it. I think Donald Trump won because he was able to tap into this sense that things are out of control. Things are not going the way they should be. I mean, and people know that things need to be different, but they don't really know exactly how, but at least this guy provides something concrete and solid that we can channel our emotions to. So a lot of people believe that maybe he will be able to lead us back once again so we can live life on our own terms. Whether that is true or not, we will see. But the point is, fear can take on a life of its own. It is a natural emotion, but it can create so many problems. This is why in the Bible, when God speaks to someone, it is always addressing fear. This is what either God or a messenger often says. He says, do not fear, do not be afraid. Look through the Bible. This is the first thing that God often says. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. When things seem out of control, when things seem out of place, the most important thing for us as human beings is to find peace, experience peace. The poor widow's life was not on her terms. Life was not in her control. We can only imagine the things she went through. But what she did was remarkable. She gave everything she had to God. She didn't nervously or in fear cling on to the two coins she had. She put it all in. In other words, she surrendered herself completely to God. She placed her total trust in God for her survival, for her life. We don't know much about her, but what I see her faith. Not a nice-sounding, meek faith. I see a tenacious faith. Tenacious faith that believes and fights against all odds. A faith that doesn't accept despair. A faith that doesn't just get or stay angry. That is what she put into the treasury. Her tenacious faith and trust in God. I think that is what Jesus meant when he said she put in more than all that the rich people put in. Obviously, she didn't put in more money. It's worth nothing. But what she put in was her complete trust in God. The rich people did not put in their faith. They put in what's on their own terms. The poor widow put in everything she had and everything she was. And that's the thing about faith. Faith is not on your own terms. Faith is not on your own terms. This is what we learned on Friday at our Bible study. Faith is what's on God's terms. To have faith is to live and surrender ourselves to God's terms. That is how Jesus lived his whole life, seeking God's terms, seeking the will of God, even when it's not what he wanted to do. Even when in the Garden of Gethsemane, he begged God, please take this cup away from me. But in the end, he surrendered himself to God's will. The cross is the place where Jesus gave his ultimate surrender to God's terms. And this is what the poor widow did. Well, I'm sure the poor widow was deeply afraid and worried about how she would survive. I'm sure she had anger and resentments or upset at the people who mistreated her. A lot of questions. Where would my money and bread for tomorrow come? But somehow, amazingly, she had a relentless, tenacious faith. No matter what my situation is, I am going to give to God. Whatever is happening to me, I am going to the temple to give my worship to God. How amazing. Life was not on her terms, but she gave everything to God. And I think that everything includes her worries, her laments, her concerns. What she did was give her worship to God. How is she able to do this? I don't think her faith just came out of nowhere. She was able to give all she had because it was baked into her. She must have built the habit and discipline of worship, of giving everything to God. Because I'm sure she didn't feel like it. But this habit and discipline of worship gave her that tenacious faith to give everything she had, even when she had nothing. My friends, our faith and our worship is also a habit and discipline. Every week, our worship needs to be a habit and discipline, where no matter what else is going on, I am going to come and give my worship to God. No matter what else is going on, I'm going to come before God. I'm going to lay down all my worries, all my fears, and all my anxieties, my money, and my future. I'm going to place it all in God's hands and give him my worship. My friends, through this discipline and habit, God builds in us a tenacious faith that withstands whatever life may throw at you. This is what James says. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face various trials, consider it all joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance complete its work, so that you may be complete and whole, lacking in nothing. My friends, life is not in our control. At least not all of the time. How we respond and how we react determines the quality of our life. God has given us the gift of faith and the ability to have a tenacious faith that will carry us forward with grace. When life is not on your terms, don't let fear and anxiety take over you. Rather, bring everything to God in worship and in prayer. It's what St. Paul says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God is a faithful God. Sometimes that's a hard thing to believe. One of our close friends that we grew up with, her mother passed away suddenly last week in her sleep. Very unexpected. Very not on their terms. But what I remember at least about her is her tenacity in life and her tenacious faith. And because of that, that was a gift to her family. They have remarkable faith. And with that faith, they are carrying on. When life is not going your way, when life is not on your terms, give everything to God. God will cultivate in you an enduring faith. God's peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God will take care of you.